Video game bullshit.
This is Master Daniel Piscina. Get over here to video game bullshit.
Welcome to episode 112 of Video Game Bullshit.
Nice. I like the magic hands on that.
And we got a familiar voice. If that was on YouTube, we'll see a familiar face. OG BTBS member.
Oh yeah.
KWK Box. How you doing, brother?
It's been great, man. Been too long, though, but...
That's actually why it's almost like a perfect topic of today's episode, which we're going to deep dive into that. It's like how we've evolved.
Definitely.
How we've evolved collecting and how we've evolved our playing. Because I'm in the same boat, brother. Like, it's and I mean, since we've talked and you've been on, I mean, hell, I went from having some cool books to now I have a video game publishing company and I just moved my family cross country and I'm still active in the military and your family. And so like game playing has taken a severe turn and I've got some ideas on how to do it. But there's like changes that we've all had to go through and what we enjoy, what we play, what we have time for. And does it change what we do? That's kind of the topic. The other thing we're going to chat about is there was a Nintendo Direct. Some cool shit. I actually went down as I watched the video, and I watch everything in 1.5 speed on YouTube, mind you. So I can get stuff, because that's another thing. I don't watch things fast. But I actually went through my notepad, and I'm like, all right, I went down each little thing. I wrote down if it was meh, or if it was cool, or if it was
like the meh.
Yeah, meh. Like, there's stuff like that I just wasn't interested in. But really cool stuff. So you had mentioned about my background, though. You played a little bit of Breath of the Wild. So we just finished up, you know, like 3-4 episodes in Breath of the Wild. So we're not going to do a deep dive here. Yeah. However, but how have you enjoyed it? Like, I know you played
Breath of the Wild. I love that game. I literally called it Skyrim for Zelda. You know, it was like the best melding of both worlds, it felt like, you know. Just couldn't end that one. And now Tears of the Kingdom that just started, it seems like a good extension of that.
Yeah, and it's so like with Tears of the Kingdom, because I was in the process of moving, I was able to get in a lot of time to play. For the first time in years, I got to play some stuff.
Really?
I went over 100 hours.
Wow.
And over the course of, you know, the last month or so, I was able to beat the game, do all the things. After you beat it, it gives you a percentage completion.
Really?
I'm barely in the 40%.
and that's you playing, so I can only imagine when I finally get that point, it'll be like 25%.
Yeah.
Because I'm just squeaking in the main quest, to be honest. That's what I'm trying to just drill through,
because I barely got time. You'll be like 5%, man. Like, there's a lot. Like, I was hunting stuff. And like, I mean, I literally, over the last, like, 2 weeks, since I beat the game, I've been sitting there hunting down shrines and light roots, and if you know what a light root is, I don't know if you've got that far yet. And hunting all that down, trying to find caves and go spelunking and find the gems, the bubble gems.
Those like discovery caves?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And
that's what I think.
I've been doing that nonstop, and I increased about 5% doing that for 2 weeks straight.
Wow.
And it's like, I'm only playing a little bit at a time. I'm not putting in like 8 hours a second, you know, a little bit here and a little bit there. But I'm like, and the thing is that, you know, there's a Hyrule Compendium app for the phones. So for Tears of the Kingdom, it'll show you where all the shrines are and everything. And so right when I beat the game, before I started playing over the last couple of weeks, I actually took the Hyrule Compendium, took my Switch, and I went to where it was. And I found spots, and I marked the whole overworld so I could find interesting caves and interesting shrines. Gotcha. And still only got 5%, man.
Wow.
like it's wild. It is crazy.
Get but your money's worth, at least.
It's been so fun. I feel like it's definitely better than Breath of the Wild, in my opinion, at this point, okay. After I've gotten really deep into it. Might be one of the greatest games of all time. Might be in my top five of all time.
Like, wow, that's impressive.
You know, I got a Link to the Past tattoo.
Yeah, I know. Like, coming from you, that's a lot, like, man.
Well, one thing I got redone the last 2 weeks on the shoulder, which I don't think I can pull this up, this long sleeve shirt. I got my tribal tattoo over here redone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it is now a Metroid.
Oh, really?
That's it is going now the
Metroid route. Pretty cool, man.
See, here we go.
He's the diehard. Oh, wow. Metroid right over the Triforce. So, that's pretty cool,
the
man.
The Triforce and Metroid. I got the Triforce redone. And so my tribal looked like a Metroid. Looked like a Metroid thing. So when I went into a place down here, which was an ink place, is Sacred Ink or Sacred Art or something like that. And they're right here, downtown Honolulu. Walked in. I'm like, hey, can you guys do this? Like, oh yeah, we got you, and they made it look flawless. And so the idea is now, because I'm out here for a little bit, is I got the Triforce and the Metroid now. Mm-hmm. What I want to do now in tribute to Kyle is I want to get a Castlevania 2 whip.
Oh, okay. Man, yeah, that's
Metroidvania, which is like one of my favorite genres of all time. So I'm like, perfect. So, you know, I got to do Simon, though. I might do the Flame Whip. Just maybe.
That'd be pretty cool. Either way, you can't go wrong with that for Castlevania. That's for sure. And I love that series, too.
Yeah, and so I feel like that would be freaking amazing because I love Zelda-likes and Zeldas. Yep. I love Metroidvania, so it's like be a perfect...
Yeah, the trifecta right there on your arm, man.
Exactly. And that's happened since the last time we recorded, which is... pretty crazy. I think we were going out here to the Hard Rock Cafe. There was an hour and a half wait, and we just walked around the corner. I'm like, I told Andrew, I'm like, do you mind if I go get a quick tattoo cover up?
Squeeze it right in, right?
A couple hours later, I got it done, and we still got to go eat. We ended up going to a different place that was open because Hard Rock closed, but it was fun. But I got my tattoo.
That's cool. With the Metroid coming out, did you ever get to do the Prime remaster yet? Because I didn't even touch that one just because of time constraints.
So we had tried to do it for bullshit homework here. I hadn't. No, I had it on Prime Hacks on my Steam Deck. Because I have a Steam Deck.
Gotcha. I
put a lot of shit on Steam Deck. But and then I also had it on my Switch. And the Switch one was, like, muddy a little bit. It was a little bit darker than the Prime Hacks.
Okay.
And then I got my OLED for Zelda. I got the Tears of the Kingdom OLED. No. And it pops now. But I'm still, like, I don't know if it's just, like, I don't know if I just got out of gaming around the GameCube era because I was in college or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, like, I just can't get into the open exploration of Prime. I don't know why.
I can kind of agree with that because I was in college, too, at the time. And when Prime came out, I was all excited. I got it. I started playing it. I even bought, like, the Prima, you know, guide with it. I'm like, I'm going to just knock this out, man. I just want to do it. And then I started playing it, and it just kind of fell flat, or I got distracted and started playing something else, and it just collected dust. So I've never beaten any of the Primes. I'm like, I need to get the Switch one and then beat it one of these days.
And I'm telling you, like, Prime Hacks – has all three in the trilogy done in HD.
Okay, sweet.
So it looks just as good. It just everything was redone for the Switch one, so it's like amazing. Yeah. The Prime Hacks is awesome.
Okay.
But the thing is that I'm in the same boat though. Like, I got to a certain point. I was like, I think I just got the space jump or whatever, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. But then it's like, all right, where do I go next? And it's kind of like, you got to explore.
Yep.
And just like back in the day with bullshit homework, I refused to use guides.
Yeah, so, I hear you. I usually am that way too, but that one, I just settled.
Well, I just kind of try to, you know, do it as unfiltered as possible. And then what we do now, though, is that we get to a hard cutoff. We talk about it. We bullshit about it. And then we decide, are we going to keep playing it or does it go collect dust?
Yep.
And so we make that. And that one was like, all right, we're done. It's going to collect dust because I ain't got time.
Shelf it.
It's reality, dude. It's reality, man. Like, a lot of stuff go right into that damn backlog. That's just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, John, Sir Brown Surf, John, said, what's up, Doom Master? Just shot me a text message. He's like, oh, Kevin, Tom, Doomania.
That's awesome, man. Send him my best. We still got to do some catch up on some Doom.
Oh, my God. Like, that's one thing that is always in my constant backlog rotation is, and I have it on the deck, is I've been playing through Doom. Original Doom, and I just play a few levels at a time.
Oh, it's great just for quick snippets. I mean, it was designed beautifully, man. Just like one level could be like 5 minutes or it could be 25 minutes, depending how much you want to explore, you know?
I just go around and murder everything on the floor and then search around. It's so good.
Clean the floor, flip a switch, clean the floor, flip a switch. I love the old school Doom, man. Never gets old for some reason.
Freaking old school first person janitor simulator.
Yep, basically.
Clean the floors.
That's it, man.
That was the best thing about when we did the Brutal Doom is we dirty the floors because everything stays on the ground.
Yep, and it just gibs everywhere all over the place and you can almost not even see because it keeps stackpiling. It gets crazy on Brutal. I remember those days.
And then John was the classic. It was like, where's Johnny? Because anytime any of us ever played with John, he would just go and clean everything in front of us. We're like, where the hell is he? And he's like, all right, got the whole level done.
Oh,
we're like, damn it.
He's just laser focused on getting to the end of the level.
He has it all memorized, every little piece, and it's like, I'm like all thumbs where I just enjoy it, just running through.
Yeah, no, same with me, man. I mean,
all
and then the level some way.
The Doom, the remake or whatever, the one that was on Xbox One or whatever, that one reminded me when I played it like old school Doom. There's some platforming, of course, but like I remember like the modern Doom that was just called Doom.
Oh, 2016?
Yeah,
Doom 2016.
That one reminded me the feel of, like, I'm just running around strafing and killing everything.
Yeah.
I was popping up. Never played Eternal. Still haven't played
it. Oh, my goodness. Do yourself that favor, because, you know, I like Doom 2016. When it first came out, I was kind of skeptical because I was so hardcore about old school. But I got to admit, after I beat it, I really enjoyed it. But I got to tell you, Doom Eternal, I don't know how you are with Doom to Doom 2, but it literally is the same feeling of Doom to Doom 2. They really did it perfect. Doom Eternal has a whole different feel because you could kind of cheap out in Doom 2016, like monsters could get stuck on things. You could sit there and just shoot them. Oh, no, you have to get down and dirty to destroy everything in Eternal. There's no like cheapening out or anything. It's pretty sweet, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, it does. And I think that I let, because, you know, these damn internet reviewers, I think I let them skew me to the point where they said it was complicated. They said it was overcomplicated.
Heck so no, man. It is Doom at heart, and it is even better than Doom 2016. I'm sorry. Some people say, I mean, Doom 2016 is great for what it did because it came from the past, and then it brought a modernization that everybody could love and appreciate from old and new generations. But Doom Eternal is literally like Doom 2 for this generation, you know? It's well played and done, so. Put that on your list.
Sounds like, Kevin, we need to do a video game bullshit homework on Doom Eternal.
Anytime, man. Actually, I still do Doom Eternal when I can. They have, like, horde modes and stuff, which is just, they just throw you in random situations, and you just clean out. So instead of, like, replaying levels over and over, they'll just have random, like, situations that they pop you in, and you can play and shoot through. And it gives you that same, we'll say, adrenaline rush just as a new level. And you can do it in quick snippets, like 5-10 minutes, you know. It's great. That's why I like
to do it. It'll let me come in as a newbie. It'll let you come in as the master, and I'll be able to. Because the thing is that I don't have it on any system. I did buy the pre-order from Limited Run Games that came in a year and a half later. So I think it just came in for Switch. I bet the Switch is gibbed. I bet it's not good.
Yeah, no, I'd recommend the Xbox. And to be honest, I beat Doom Eternal back in, I think it was 2020. Jeez, that's been out a long time. Doom Eternal.
It's been a while, man.
Yeah, I beat it like when it came out, like the year it came out, I beat it, and I played on my old Xbox One before I had a Series X, and man, that thing would load forever, but it still ran all right. But I play it now when I get a chance on the Series X, and it's smooth.
Because I don't have a Series X, I have a PS5.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that'd be smooth on that, I'm sure.
Yeah, and then I haven't my Xbox One, it's in storage, but I still have Xbox Live, and I stream it to my Steam Deck. I'm pointing over because my Steam Deck is
Nice. Nice. Yeah you know what? I just say put it on your PS5, then you just want the fastest hardware you got available to put that, because a lot of challenges with that game.
Well, should I just put it on the Deck?
Or if the Deck runs, it seems very powerful. I'm not as familiar with the Steam Deck, but hey, anything that's got horsepower, put that on there, because it's going to challenge it. Challenge it, man. I mean, Doom 2016 was challenging.
I already have it.
Yeah, I'll take a look, man.
Now I got to look. Like, so you say that Eternal's challenging?
Oh, it's challenging on the processor speed and everything. I'm just saying, like, the horsepower, because Doom 2016, I played on my old Xbox One, and it did it, but the Eternal, I'd have to like go take a 20-minute break loading between levels. It was horrendous.
So I have Doom Eternal on this.
Well, no excuses, Jeff. You're gonna be cracking on that now.
I have to install it though, and it's 90 gigabytes.
Yeah, so let that run overnight.
I gotta clean up. I gotta wait till I'm not on hotel internet for that.
Get in my house. Gotcha.
But, no, I think that sounds like a perfect bullshit homework for the future. Oh, yeah. That'd be amazing.
Yeah,
and
let me go refresh.
Mania.
Yep.
Yes.
I'm all for it. Man. See, we're already playing in the future here. But speaking of the podcast, what about the current? I don't want to get too skewed on the topic here.
Well, the thing is classic video game bullshit. You always go down the river.
That is true.
How far it goes down, man. Because the thing is that, you know, we'll try to do, you know, our style. One thing that I like to do before we dip in to the main topic, though, is anything that we may have been playing. I don't know if you've been playing anything over the last week or so.
Actually, I have, but rare for me.
We got that, and then I got two games, and it's basically like a quickie one. So I'll do one, let you do yours, and then I'll do my second one that I actually started today. Preface, I have on my Steam Deck 100-200 games on there. There is this Decky loader that I have on it, and I can click a button and do Deck Roulette. It allows me to pull up a random Steam game, and it'll allow me to play it. So I randomizer. Wow. Everything I have installed is shit that I think I would love, or maybe even sign as a company as a physical. So I have some really cool stuff. They're always hidden gems. I'm working on a hidden gem Steam book.
Oh, cool.
So this is all preface to find cool ass games to cover in a book for the future, to maybe preserve it. Maybe more people will preserve it physically. It'll be a cool thing. So that's the preface. That's how I'm doing it right now. But so the first one that I played, this was like a week and a half ago. It's called Bat Boy.
That sounds familiar.
Bat Boy.
Double check that one.
I saw people in a Metroidvania Facebook group talking about it as you're checking it. What it feels like is it's like a Mega Man style action platformer. And now he's like all these kids in high school, they all look like little Mega Man characters. All the kids in high school are like based off their sport. So there's Bat Boy and has a little bat. And then there's like, you know, there's like Dancer Girl, or there's, and they all get brainwashed by a guy and get sucked into another, you know, dimension. And then you go through, and as I'm going through, I constantly get, I get like different abilities based on who I beat as a boss. So basically,
Mega Man clone.
And I fight the first guy and he shoots like a little spinny thing. So now I can take my bat and throw it, and then it spins. And what's cool is when you throw it and it spins, you can jump on it as a second jump now.
Nice.
Too.
So throw like some DuckTales on there.
Yeah, like they don't have the pogo yet, but they probably will.
I'm just thinking of it.
They will. Yeah. And it's all pixel graphics because you pulled her up.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It reminds me of like Shovel Knight, you know, kind of. I like the aesthetic that they got going here from what I'm seeing in the pictures.
Super cool. The music's great. The graphics are cool.
Is this on all platforms or?
I only played it on Steam, so I haven't looked up to see if it's
available. I see it's on the Switch. You can get it. That's what popped up when I went for pictures. So Switch. So I'll probably go that route because I need all the convenience I can get.
And that might also be a competitor for something for me to look into for physical publication if it's not already has one. Okay. Some of these games are already tied up. And the funny thing was, is back in the day, we used to be very careful what we talk about because then like another competitor, like a limited run, will come in and steal the game. Now it's like, go ahead, dude. Go ahead.
Bring it.
We're making high quality stuff. We're having fun with it. We go slow. Like, if these games get a physical, because we talked about it on Video Game Bullshit, great. Exactly. I'm happy that the developers get supported.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no problem with that, right?
Game is cool as hell, though. I think I beat 3 levels now, and that's why I love the Steam Deck you mentioned, portability, man. I literally have it right here next to my bed, and I can play it. In my lap. Freaking cool. But I've done 3 and I put it in my backlog favorites because you can list everything. So I put it in the backlog. And that's on my short list to play. On my short list to play. Bat Boy. So Bat Boy. Cool one. That's
add it to my list now. Put on my backlog.
What have you been playing?
Oh man, I'm old school. I was feeling
hell yeah.
I was feeling nostalgic, and I needed something that was portable and some time-friendly, so I actually dug out my Game Boy Advance. It's got the modded screen on there, so it's a nice LCD on there. And I popped in, Final Fantasy IV, but, Final Fantasy II to you and me in the U.S., Super Nintendo. I don't know if you ever beat that one, but yeah, that one is.
Oh, yeah, Cecil.
Good old Cecil, man. I'm at the point, I'm already a paladin, and I got my, the Enterprise. I'm flying around. Got Sid on the team right now enjoying it. And it really captures me. It's like the music of that game. They really nailed it in that game for me. Like you just hear that music and you're like going to trance. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but any of it, like the overworld music or even like the dungeon music, like really does it for me.
Is that the one where it's like do 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 do?
Kind of. It's like do 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 do. And then it's
hell yeah.
It's got that, I don't know, it's just
we'll sing on BGPS, dude.
Exactly. We'll stick with that. But no, I've been doing that for the Game Boy, and that's kind of like my thing. It's like, hey, if late at night I got a good 15, 20 minutes, and the cool thing, I don't know if people realize, if you play the Game Boy Advance version, which is a re-release of it, because I already beat on the Super Nintendo, it's kind of fun seeing the differences, but they did keep in You Spoony Bard for our entertainment. They did keep that in the translation. But you can do save, like instant save anytime, even though it's an old Game Boy Advance game, which I thought was pretty cool. So it's not like get to a save point,
I don't think we ever talked about 4 on VGBS, but my story with it was back in the day, it was like 2006. I was in army training in Germany, and we were at tents, and we had to pull all night watch on the tents.
Okay.
And I wasn't a skiffer in any kind of classified area, but I had my Game Boy Advance SP with me. I played Final Fantasy IV Advance, and I beat the whole game. That's the first time I ever beat.
Wow, that's cool, man.
I was there all night, dude. There all night. I'm like, I'm going to sit there. And here's the thing. One thing that happened between me doing those and deploying Direct 15 months and coming back, there were not smartphones.
Yeah.
So I still had a flip. So there was nothing to do. So I said, I'm playing Game Boy Advance, brother. Like
that's true.
Cecil and Suplexin. And that's 6, though. Yeah. Suplexin. The
Gloom
Train.
Yeah, I hear it.
Dude, I love that guy.
I just like the old man and, that bard.
So the question I have for you then is, what are your thoughts on the Pixel remasters that were released for the Switch and the PS4?
The Pixel what remasters. For
Final
which
Fantasy,
one?
Final Fantasy Pixel Remaster came out. First 6 games.
Yeah, I saw those. Yeah, it looked interesting, and it's, like, overwhelming, and it's, like, I think it's a great way for the new generations to have a convenient way, because I'm noticing when I try to introduce older stuff to newer generations, they're like, dude, I'm all about convenience. If I can't conveniently play it, I'm not going to dig out the old hardware like you are, old man River, That's what they kind of treat me.
Old man Green River.
Yep, that's what they pretty much say whenever I'm, like, trying to show them a Game Boy. They're like, no. But I think it's an awesome option, though. I mean, for me, I still like it my old way, but we're all that kind of way nostalgic in how we played it. But I think either way, it's a good option.
Well, because, like, for me, I pre-ordered it because it came out. I was like, hell yeah. I got the collector's edition,
Okay.
And they shipped the collector's edition separately from the game.
Mm-hmm.
So the game, I got a
that
whole.
That's weird.
Yeah, I didn't even open it because I'm like, I'm about to move to Hawaii at the time, and I'm like, forget it. And
lose some pieces.
But I took the cartridge and I put all the cartridges, mm-hmm. all the little tiny Switch cartridges. I put them all in a binder so to bring them with me to Hawaii, so I didn't have to bring my whole collection. So I have it. Haven't fired it up yet. Mm-hmm. What I'm tracking is it's supposed to be pretty damn faithful.
Yeah, no, from what I'm seeing, like, picture-wise and everything, it does look pretty faithful. Yeah. And it's so funny that this, like, happens, and I just happen to be playing the old Game Boy Advance version at the same time this stuff is popular. I guess it's just in the air out there. Everybody wants their old pixel Final Fantasy fix.
Well, the other thing is that have you delved into FPGA much?
No.
Because FPGA, the company Analog... back in the day when we were recording, they had like an NES, but now the Analog Pocket is out and I pre-ordered that sucker and I got it in. So I have a Game Boy Advance, Game Boy Color.
Yeah, you got the premium one.
And the thing is that you can put an SD card in it and mm-hmm. hack it or whatever, modify it so it can play ROMs.
Gotcha.
So I can play Final Fantasy 2 mm-hmm. on Super Nintendo on my Game Boy.
Yep.
The original.
Or I can the Game play. Boy Advance one.
Yeah, because the thing is that the FPGA is made specifically for Game Boy or Game Boy Advance. Mm-hmm. However, when they packed it, they also they have a dual core inside of that thing, so it can perfectly emulate Super Nintendo, Nintendo, whatever hobbyists have created. And it's one-to-one, man. There's no lag. There's no nothing. It's perfect.
Yeah, no, FPGA is awesome. I've just never personally owned any of those because they usually had a pretty premium on them and a wait list, for that matter.
Yeah, there was a wait list. It wasn't super expensive. A few hundred dollars. A console.
Yeah.
But the reason why I got it was because, number one, handheld, I can play portably.
Yeah, you need the portability, especially how you're rolling.
Yeah, and they have a dock, so you can play it on your TV.
Yeah, the dock really helps. It's basically a modern Switch for retro stuff, you know?
Exactly. So I got Steam Deck, Switch, and Analog, so I could pretty much... And the thing is, on the Steam Deck, I could put all that crap on there, like all the ROMs. It wouldn't be FPGA.
Yeah, it wouldn't be as accurate.
It'll be okay.
Yeah.
And it's still going to TV. However, I use that for all the... all the different retro stuff, the Analog. I use Steam Deck for all the modern stuff, all brand new stuff.
Cool.
I use Switch for all the Switch. I still collect Switch and all that. And then I have this cheapo thing that I got off of probably either eBay or AliExpress or something. It looks like a Switch Lite, but it's I think I have Odroid on it or something.
Okay.
And it looks like a Switch. And then there's a buddy of John Lester, Games 31, that had created a backend for it. And what it does is I have all my arcade on there.
Oh,
and
that's
cool.
And
what he created is tape mode.
Oh, nice. Rotate away and do your sideways. Vertical shooters, Fair basically. Vertical.
Yeah. Yep.
That's
so
sweet.
He has it. So that's my arcade. I have four portables.
Wow.
It's freaking crazy, man.
And you got everything you need with that, pretty much. I mean, I can't really think of a situation where you're really lacking anything in that setup, so you're in good shape, dude.
You can fit it all in a backpack.
that's amazing, man.
Because I traveled, so I had to figure out a way that... And actually, this goes right into the main topic of the day. I figured out a way with my current travels, not necessarily how I'm shifting my collecting, with my current travels to make it as interesting. Very interesting. So that other game that I played, freaking crazy, dude. I hadn't even heard of it, dude. Brand new game. I hit random today. This was this morning. I ended up playing it for 3 hours.
What's that?
It is called Stories, The Path Stories. Of Destinies.
I haven't even heard that one. I'm out of the loop. Path
of Destinies. Yeah. Nobody's heard of this. This stuff, we're talking... Hidden gems, man.
Cool.
So this game starts like a storybook, and there's a guy reading it, and it sounds like it's like a popular voice actor. It really does. I don't know. I didn't look it up. But it is a God of War style hack and slash game, 3D.
Oh, okay.
And
that's cool looking.
It has a good progression tree. But what was cool was the difficulty balance is pretty good too. So you rush through, you kill things, you move on, and you upgrade. But what was cool was the game is essentially five stages, and you get to choose your path.
Really? As you go through. But, I like that cell shading graphic. I like that.
Yeah, and
that's cool.
So what was cool though is after you beat the fifth level, you beat the game. You don't beat the game. You die. World dies. The universe ends. Something happens.
Because it's ghouls and ghosts. Play it again.
You restart and you got to choose different paths.
Oh,
and as you figure out more truths about the world, it unlocks more progression to get more abilities. And I think there's like 40 different endings.
Really?
Something like that. So like there's like one where I get this giant all-powerful weapon, but the all-powerful weapon kills the strings of the universe and the universe ended. Then the next one, I find this old artifact because the temple arose. So and the artifact messed with my mind, made me all powerful, and I killed everyone. Killed everyone, good and bad. And then I go to the next one where I go, well, now I'm going to go get my buddy. Because I left my buddy to die in the one. Now I'm going to go get my buddy. But he turns on you and he kills you. It's like your buddy, like damn it. So, yeah, there's all these inner arching things. And you're fighting the ravens that are brainwashed by the evil Toad King. But it's really good. There's multiple different swords, but there's not multiple weapons like in God of War. You just have swords, and then you have armor, you have bracelets, you have different abilities. You can sit there and infuse the armors with different spirits, and you have different talisman that'll go in your arms to make you faster and make you stronger. And
cool.
I've unlocked a few different weapons, a grapple hook. And I've gotten a dash, and it pauses time when I parry and stuff now, which is pretty cool. So it's pretty addictive. Another one's in my backlog, man. I don't know if that's on anything but Steam, but it is.
Excellent. Yeah, it came up immediately for Steam when I pulled it up in the pictures, but it does look very, I like the aesthetic, at least of the graphics here. And from what I can tell, it's all platforms though. So yeah, PS4, Xbox. Cool. Yeah. Anything. Well,
fortunately, Kevin, everything that I hit in my randomizer that I've added to my Steam Deck is pretty much something that we would like. That's all I've added. And
you got that luck.
I go a bunch of different genres, but I don't add everything, and I don't. And then the other thing that I wanted to start talking about, and I haven't yet on Video Game Bullshit, is I do this Humble Bundle Select every month, and it gives you Steam games. And it gives you like a choice of six or seven Steam games that get added to the service that month.
Yeah.
But unlike PlayStation and Xbox, once you get to select whatever ones you want for the same price, you can do all seven. You could do one of them for the same price, and you get to keep them forever.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So that would be another interesting thing where you go down the list of the new games that are available, and is this something I'm even going to download? Is this something that you would be interested in? Is it like, well, I make time for it in my backlog. Like
that's right.
That's how I got Doom Eternal. Like a few months back, it was there for free.
Wow, that's a good freebie. Okay. Yeah, you'll definitely put that in a backlog. I'd hope you'd eventually finish that one in time.
Well, funny thing was is that at the first or the second month that I started it, and I started like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
One of the games I signed for premium, Raji, Ancient Epic, was on there. Really? I'm like, oh. One of my games is on there. That's another one. That
exactly. That's funny how that worked out that way for you.
Freaking cool, man. Yeah.
That is cool, though.
But, yeah, there was another game I played this morning, too, and it wasn't that good.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even remember the name of it, but, like, there's these four quadrants, and you're attacking in the middle at the enemy, and you can only move between the four quadrants, and you have to, like, dodge and hack and block, and it just didn't feel good. And the graphics look like it belonged on a cell phone.
Gotcha. Yeah, anything that has like a cell phone graphic or like flash game look to it, I can't really keep my attention on it, you know?
You and me both, man. Yeah. There's been so many games I've tested now as a publisher, and I'm like, as soon as I see that, I'm like,
yeah,
it's gonna stand out with that graphics, man. Mm-hmm. And the thing that sucks is like there's been some games that we've signed that are like they're on a screenshot might look like that, but when you play, it's like it's actually paintings.
Oh, really?
And it's like, yeah, like Rack and Ruin. If you look at the graphics in Rack and Ruin, is that like a cell phone thing? And then when you actually play it, it's like, no, everything is done like artistically.
Oh,
and it's like
ridiculous.
Yeah, so like I have to get rid of my own bias with playing some games because sometimes I'm surprised. Sometimes I'm surprised.
Yeah, whenever you say a game like that, that makes me think of like Dragon's Crown, if you ever played that one. That looks like a beautiful painting. Like, those graphics are amazing. That's probably the most beautiful beat 'em up I've ever seen. You know, it looks like a Renaissance painting you're actually playing.
Talk about a game in the freaking backlog that I need to play.
Yeah, yeah. I've played it on and off, and that's another one. It just, you know, got to get back to it one of these days.
Well, hell, before we start talking about Nintendo Direct, let's go over to this whole conversation of of how we've modified. Because you just hit the nail on the head, man. I would love to go back to Dragon's Crown.
Yeah.
I got it. What is it? PS4, I want to say. Or was it
PS3? It was out for
PS3. How about the collector's edition? Never played it. Wow. I always remember it was the Witch.
Actually, I think the collector's edition might have been PS4. They re-released it with 4K on the PS4, so you might have PS4 one. So that's probably that might be it. But it was released on, I think, the Vita and the PS3, and then the PS4 was like some kind of steelbook edition or something.
Did they adjust the boobs on the witch to make them bigger?
They made them in 4K, so it sold better.
4K boobs on there.
That's the best kind, apparently.
Ridiculous. No, but like that's like a good thing. That was why we were gonna talk about this on a earlier episode, but like how our collecting and what we play, how has it changed over the years? And how has it evolved as we've gotten older, started families, had less time? And the thing is, when we started Video Game Bullshit, we were already working.
Yeah.
We already were married.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, I had London. But, you know, the thing is as we get older, as our priorities change, as we have less time, has it had a major effect on how you collect? And has it had a major effect on what you enjoy from genres? Like, I'm not saying it's going to take away like why I enjoy like Doom or a role-playing game, but I'll tell you, if a brand new game comes out that's a role-playing game, I'm more likely to just toss that into my backlog or put it on the buy in the future than buy it. Like Octopath Traveler 1 and 2. Those games look freaking amazing. They look like Final Fantasy 4, like you were talking about. They look awesome, and it's supposed to be amazing. I don't have 100, 200 hours. Like, I can carve out that 100 hours, and my wife notices that I'm playing it a lot with Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, but I can't do that all the time.
Yeah.
It's a once a year thing, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, when you get that one window.
So like, for me, first point is RPGs have taken a backseat for sure for me. I'm not saying that I wouldn't go back and play Final Fantasy 4 because I haven't installed it. That's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
I will absolutely do that. But I'm saying taking new RPGs, having to hunt, having to search around. Same thing with Metroid Prime, right? Like searching around. Mm-hmm. I don't have time for that. I'll jump into Super Metroid though and play the hell out of that again.
Yeah, because you know in the back of your head you can cruise right through it.
Or Symphony of the Night. Like, let's do it.
Yeah.
And there's certain genres like a Metroidvania that we'll switch over to. But what's before I go into any other rabbit? What's from your perspective? There's a lot of different pieces here to a bunch of layers of the onion.
I'll try to keep it to the point. But no, I've even noticed myself. I won't say that I've evolved like I don't. I've changed my appreciation for different genres, like you said. Like, I kind of geared myself to go towards things that are more flexible to my time. And it's not just like, hey, you can have games that are flexible on your time that are RPGs, but not really, in my opinion. An RPG, it's like watching a movie. You got to like sit there and kind of be consistently watching it. And if you do so many interruptions, you kind of lose the whole overall feeling of the movie. So that's why it's like, well, I can't dedicate an hour every night to enjoy this RPG. So guess what? This is going to the back. So I kind of switch to games that are more, I'd say, arcade or time friendly. So I'm like this. It's kind of funny when we're younger. I'll say both of us. I'll just throw you in there. I had all the time in the world. I'm like, dude, I'm doing RPGs. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And then, you know, when you'd play a game, you'd like play something on Sega Genesis you could beat in an hour, and you're like, well, that was cool, but it's over, and then you're disappointed. Now I'm going back and I'm like, man, I want to be playing those games that only take an hour to beat, because with technology now, you can do save states and other ways, or heck, even the game itself would have a password system. Those are the games I'm now going back into my collection and going through and being like, I want to go through all these games I never beat that I know they're like 2 hours or less or something, and then just kind of knock and chew on those games now. So that's
kind of 100% spot on, man. Because the thing is like, when it comes to it, if it starts off with like hours of text, or you go do like a little part of the story and then you come back and now it's like reading. It's like, do I want to spend my 20 minutes I have to read the whole
time through a tutorial
and not even get to the game? Like during that. And then now, oh, I get the game this time, but I might not play it again for a week. And then it's like, now I get
then
to
you
read
forgot
it.
What it was. Yeah, no.
That was a classic, is the 1 hour chump. That's like kind of what I end up doing, is like I'll have a brand new game, play it for an hour, and then never go back to it. And then when I go back to it finally, I gotta start the damn thing over because I forgot everything I did.
Exactly. And it's kind of funny. The other thing that evolved that I hate to say with age and stuff, recently, about a few months ago, I kind of slept on my arm wrong. And then it kind of it numbed out my whole left hand for a long time, like two of my fingers. Like I almost got like it felt like, you know, carpal tunnel, but it healed itself. So I couldn't even play like any active games. And then it kind of steered me. It steered me and made me realize, man, I could only play like, you know, Click Adventures at best for like a couple months till my hand fully got healed. It, thank God it did over time. I saw a doctor. He's like, yeah, you like something. You pinched a nerve when you slept on your arm funny and you can't feel nothing. Your left hand will eventually heal itself. So I damaged the nerves, but now they're all good. But like I said, that made me think to myself, you know, while we have the age, the youth, and the hands for it, we should be playing the action games we enjoy or have time for. Because I'm thinking to myself, if I'm like 70 years old and my hand's like a claw, I think that's the time to pull out those RPGs and be like, yeah, do this move next. Or the, you know, exactly. I think I'm going to put that backlog and I'm going to make like my retirement backlog when I ain't got the hand action anymore to go enjoy all those Fantasy Stars or, you know, all those old Final Fantasies that I didn't beat or go all the way through. I think that's going to be the key time for me for those, you know, with the exception of nostalgia when I'm doing.
That's a good point, though, is like I didn't even think about like, thinking where I'll be in like 20 years, dexterity wise.
Exactly.
Like, you didn't even think about
that. Beat Doom Eternal now while you still can. My hands were like on fire to play that game. And, you know, in the back in the day, I was very good at Doom and games, first person shooters, but not my age now. I had to put it on like, I think I had to put it on finally. I'm too young to die to get through Doom Eternal, to be honest. I felt real beat up.
Get you little muscle workouts for your fingers.
Exactly.
So you can start working them out.
But it's just crazy. So with the restrictions of time and our mortality, I say gear your gaming that way is my advice to anybody as they get older. When you got the time and you got the energy and you got the ability, I say play those hardcore games. Stay up all night and play the new Diablo, you know, when you can actually endure doing that stuff. But when you go older, man, you ain't got the time, energy, or maybe even the nerve to do it. So have the cool, chillax, cinematic movie games. Have them then, you know?
Our visual novel, people.
Yeah, exactly.
So like, I've absolutely evolved, Tori. I always liked Zeldas, but, like, Metroidvanias have really come into their own. And really, Metroidvanias are really action-adventure games. Really. Like, Castlevania 2, Simon's Quest was definitely a stunner. And that's the kind that I like. However, you have to have a hook. They have to have a hook to where you get over this certain threshold. So, perfect example would be Dead Cells. I don't know if you've played Dead Cells.
Yes, I played a little bit. I never got to go back to it, but it reminds me exactly what you're describing.
Dude. And so, like, that one has roguelike aesthetics where if when you die, you start a whole run.
Yep.
I was the same boat, brother. Like, I played it for, like, an hour or so. However, went back to it for the very first episode of VGBS Coming Back, episode 101, 102, because they have a Castlevania DLC.
Yeah,
so
I saw that.
As soon as they had the Symphony of the Night, the Castlevania DLC with Richter and everything, went back to it, the hook in, and played the hell out of it, beat it a few times over, was able to beat Dracula, was able to actually beat the main game, never did that.
Cool.
I never even got past the first stage before that. and
Nostalgia-driven.
It's awesome. It's amazing. Like, I got past the hook. Same thing with, like, a Hollow Knight game. I don't know if you played Hollow Knight.
Mm-hmm. Just in passing, I never really invested, but I did play a little bit of it.
Well, dude, exactly. And I ended up going back to it on a whim. Somebody recommended it. And it finally clicked for me, and I was able to start getting the mechanics down. Because that one, you have to get down the boss battle mechanics in it, and there's a lot of different interesting bosses that are high speed and paced. And once I figured that out, it opened up for me. You get enough abilities. Same thing with the game Cathedral that Premium signed. You have to beat a boss or two, and then you get the abilities to the point where you're strong enough to kind of just do whatever you want, go all over. It's the Metroidvania style. Like, it's what I like is like getting to that point. Other games that didn't do it for me yet, The Mummy Demaster. The Mummy Demaster that came out. Limited Run Games published it physically. Mummy Demaster. Based off that Mummy remake that tanked, there's a Metroid-style 2D Metroidvania that they released for it. Yeah. And that one, I hadn't gotten the hook for it. I stopped playing it. There's been a few of those recently because I'm like, oh, I love every Metroidvania, and it's not the case. Like, it has to hit that threshold, and that otherwise it just goes to the pile, and maybe I'll play it in the future, and hopefully it does like a Hollow Knight or a Dead Cells where I'll pop it back in. Have you heard of Blasphemous?
Nope, not that one. Educate me on that one.
That's another Metroidvania. That one has like Giger style religious iconography in it, where it's like a lot of blood and gore and stuff. It has the roguelike aesthetics with it too. Hasn't hooked me yet. I played it for about an hour, but the game looks like something I would love.
Yeah, it does look Castlevania-y from what I can see picture-wise, so I could see it.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, that's the thing is, like, so I go toward action games, but they also still have to hook me in. Otherwise, I'm going back to my comfort food of my classics that I love.
Yep.
I'm going to do that. And because of the craziness of life, I honestly haven't had the time to go back and do my yearly playthrough of A Link to the Past. I haven't played A Link Between Worlds since, like, podcast days. Like,
that's an awesome game, too.
I want to go back to it. Yeah. Like, it's that kind of stuff where it's just, like, I don't have time to do my backlogs anymore. And, like...
Hell, I ain't got time to do an annual Ghouls and Ghosts run.
Yeah. Or go back and play Double Dragon 2.
Exactly. That's never long. Yeah.
No. I just don't have the time. But the thing is that when I get sucked into a game like that stories game that I was playing today, like, it's been fun and I want to hit it and strike while the fire is burning.
Yeah. No, I hear you on that. I fully agree. There's so many times that I had like a lot of motivation to play a game, and then I just ain't got the time, and I pushed it off. And then by the time I had time to play it, I had no interest in playing it. So I never end up playing it at all. So like you said, I say, if you're in the mood, make a time, at least if it's 10 or 15 minutes, just get yourself hooked into it, or you'll never end up playing it sometimes. It's crazy.
You mentioned something too earlier about back in the day. But we have something now. It's like actually a technical term that I like to use, and I've heard it used before. Paralysis of choice. Paralysis of choice. So back in the day, man, we had all the time to play in none of the games. We would be able to rent a game. We get a brand new game in for Christmas, birthday, whatever. We would have that game. That's our freaking life. We played the shit out of it. We had all the time in the world. Now, I literally just said I have every single freaking arcade game, every single retro game. I have a Steam deck filled with games. Yeah. I have a giant Switch collection and no time to play anything.
Yep.
The irony is sick. But it's paralysis of choice. So the thing is that you have all these awesome ass games that are in your backlog that you want to play, that I want to play. But then when it comes down to it, it's like, but I got a million games to play now. What do I want to play? Sometimes I'll just sit there and look through new games and never even play anything.
Hell, I've done that with my physical collection. Just sit there and go through.
Hell, I've done that with Plex servers, like KWK's Plex.
Exactly.
Looking through the movies and I'm like, oh, and I never watch one.
Yep. I've been there.
Like, we literally have, you know, it's scope creep is what I use in the project terms when I'm working on so many projects and you get scoped out of the point where you don't finish a project. I try to avoid scope creep. Paralysis of choice, though, is what we have, where it's like literally we got too much.
Too much. And, yeah.
I mean, less is more. We wouldn't be able to play them all before we die.
Yeah. It'd be impossible, you know? It'd be impossible. So you've got to choose wisely. And the worst part is, you want to replay a lot of nostalgia games. At least I do. And it's like, man, to balance that with new games, that's tough. That's tough.
Yeah, and so, like, my own mental choices recently have been, and that's kind of how I built the new stuff I want to play for Steam Deck, is I'm picking genres, games, and visual aesthetics of stuff that I think I would like. Yeah. I'm not going to be gambling on a visual novel. I don't like visual novels. I'm not going to do a visual novel. Like, unless somebody really says you need to play this thing, I'm not. Not happening. But if there's pixelated graphics looking for new games, I will look into it, see if it looks like something cool, add it to the list. And it's the same thing with, like, retro games. I'm not going to play a new retro game of a genre that I'm not interested in.
Yeah.
I will play the classics. I will play, like, if there's an action game that's released for the Super Nintendo that I may have not played before, I'll knock it out. Like, I've never beaten Musha. Let's beat some Musha for the Genesis. Mm-hmm. Let's do it. Like, never done that one. That'd be another good one. But, like, that's the stuff where it's like, all right, so how I'm going to hone it in, and then I kind of scope it in a little. The other piece is making lists of my backlog. That's the other thing that I did last year, is I made a list of all the games that I would like to play, and I switched it between new and then nostalgic. So if it's like Duke we've played, that's in the nostalgic one, and I put dates in there if I played it, and then the new ones if I played it, and if I didn't, I put why. And it kind of helped me get over this whole infinite possibilities of overwhelming. It's like, all right, here's my S tier games, because I consider it D, A through D, S's type. So S, A, B, C, and D. And a D game's like, I'm not going to play it. C is okay. B, if it's an F game, I'm not even looking at it.
Yeah, really.
A tile's great. S tier is like iconic, like a Zelda or something.
Yeah.
So, like, and it's like my hype level too. So that's kind of how I've recently scoped in what I'm playing. But it's still, that's a lot of different stuff that I'm doing instead of playing video games.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You're still getting away from it. But hey, you're at least finding a method to the madness, right? So that does kind of help.
And it releases endorphins.
Yeah.
It releases endorphins to get me satisfying so I can sleep at night, not stay awake, figuring out what video game I want to play.
Exactly. Yeah, I almost did something similar. What I kind of narrowed mine down for variety is it's like a randomizer. Like, you got a randomizer, but it's more for like a randomizer of like, hey, genre and system, and then we'll say like generation of the system. So it's like, hey, am I doing 16-bit era? Okay, 16-bit Sega Genesis, this genre, pick one. If I played it or whatever I'm feeling, kind of put myself in that. So I still have choices, but I narrow down my choice. What's that?
You do that on the computer, or how do you do it?
Oh, how I do it? It's literally I'll just go random. You know what I mean? I don't have
pick like sheets of paper out of a hat.
Pretty much, as lame amazing. As it sounds. I have like a game log book that I use, and then I got like a what I do is I can just literally, without looking, like flip through all the pages, stop, and then, you know, it's almost like the old days. You flip through the dictionary and then point at a word. It's kind of like that to an extent.
Oh, that's cool.
So I just do that.
No, you say that, but I literally did the same thing. So on the Steam Deck, before the Decky Loader, which is like the little, before they created that or created, it's called Deck Roulette. Before that was created, I would sit there and go through it. I would just hold the button, close my eyes, and then stop it. That's the game I would play.
Yeah,
I would just close my eyes and just let it roll.
Cool.
Now, at least there's a random mode that I could hit a button. That drove me nuts that I couldn't, like, because there's no way I'm going to ever do it completely random.
Exactly. But it's still, hey, it's helping us narrow down to stay away from that paralysis the best we can. So I like your logic on it.
Well, because, like, there's that on my Steam Deck. MAME, whatever, has a randomizer. It's CoinOps has a randomizer.
Yeah.
And then even Netflix has a randomizer. So they know we need to. Even though that one's dangerous because there's a lot of crap on that.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't randomize that. You might as well randomize YouTube while you're at it.
I actually do randomize my watch later list, though. My watch later list is it's to the point where there's 1,000 of those, man.
Oh, geez. Well, at least you controlled somewhat. At least you picked what the watch laters were.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'll sit there and like I'll load up YouTube, and if I see anything, I'll just add to watch later if I don't have the time to do it, and then I'll just watch the ones that are interesting. I've noticed though, it's pointless to do topical news or newer game reviews, or because like it gets old, and then all of a sudden
it's almost like unique like story experiences, or maybe game lists of like old games or something, or genres, something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why I like to keep video game bullshit a little topical, right? Like talking about this type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And except for we're gonna still talk about the Nintendo Direct.
Definitely squeeze that in here, right?
but that's just side piece. But no, that's one piece. We talked about what we play. However, have you changed how you collect? Because you collected differently back in the day, and you have family priorities. Yeah. I have moved across the world.
Yeah.
I have absolutely changed. And the thing was, is that mine changed very recently, but also like it's changed since we recorded. Mm-hmm. So I changed a few times. So first, how did yours change?
Mine changed. I'll just try to wrap it in. We'll say past like 10 years. I'll just go over quick. I mean, back in the day, I collected like all over the place. I collected anything that I had nostalgia for. It's like, oh man, I'm gonna buy this for Sega Genesis. I'm gonna buy this for Super Nintendo. I'm gonna buy this, and then you know the pandemic happened and everything else, and then the prices of all this stuff went through the roof. So yeah, you know what that did with the family and my budget? It altered me to look at, okay, what systems do I have nostalgia for that the prices haven't gotten hammered? So guess what? PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, or even original Xbox games, those started to be more of a gearing I started collecting for, I'd say around 2019 through, you know, 2021. And they were dirt cheap. I mean, PS1 games, I mean, you'd go to, for us, it's Disc Replay in our area. Awesome games. It's like $7 and under. There were slews of them. And if it was like a big heavy hitter back then, it'd be like $10, $15. And I'm like, I'm glad I stockpiled when I did, because now I think it's caught up with pricing. I don't even collect for any of those anymore. Like now, literally, if I buy a game for myself at all my collection, it has to have some kind of, I got to have some kind of like attachment to it, a nostalgia, something for it. Like the last game I think I actually bought was 2 years ago. It was, I mean, for when I say last game I bought, it's like a nostalgia game. Sorry, not like a modern game. One out of your way, a retro game. It was Castlevania Bloodlines. And it was for my birthday, because my birthday's in October, and I'm like, that's the perfect fall game. I have a lot of Castlevanias, but I could never find, you know, how Castlevania Bloodlines had the cardboard version and then the hard case version. I had an opportunity. I found the hard case version for the right price, and I'm like, dude, just going to do that for my birthday. So I got the hard case version, and it's like very minty fresh.
Oh, that's amazing. So. Yeah, I love the hard case version of Bloodlines. Yeah. That's freaking amazing title. And so, like, it's been interesting. So since we recorded, I've moved multiple times, right?
Yeah.
So my first piece that I focused on was, all right, if something sat in my garage in totes between Maryland, where I moved to and we started video game bullshit, to Texas, all the way to Georgia, if it stayed in there multiple times in the garage and never even made it to the collection, that's stuff that I could probably part with. So I started tearing things down as early as when I was in Texas, and then in Georgia, started paring down my collection with stuff. Now, anything that I was super nostalgic for, had a memory with, if we played it on video game bullshit, whatever.
Yeah.
If I got it as a gift from someone, those I held on to. But like, I went through like my Sega CD, Sega Saturn, and I was like, I only kept a couple games, like a couple. And I had tons, like my Neo Geo collection only kept a couple. Like it was insane how much stuff I got rid of. And I focused solely on Nintendo Switch. And that's what I was working on. Nintendo Switch, TurboGrafx 16, and NES Homebrew. Those are my three things that I was focusing on. With NES Maker going crazy with the NES Homebrew scene, there were so many releases coming out. And Nintendo Age, when Nintendo Age died, video games age wasn't as great as a resource as Nintendo Age used to be. So there are so many games coming out and stuff that I will support and back like a Kickstarter or somebody having something new or when a guy releases something. But it is near impossible to track down at this point. So there's so much stuff out there that I don't go for everything. I go for looks cool.
Yeah.
For Turbo, I have to find it in the wild and everything's dried up. There's nothing on the island here in Hawaii anyway, so I'm good. But like, I would have to find it. So I've kept that very narrow on purpose. yeah. And then the Switch, I was like, oh, I'm just going to collect what looks cool or what I'm nostalgic for on Switch. Unfortunately, the Switch is everything looks cool. It's like every generation of video games. I was 2,000, 3,000 games.
Holy hell.
And like, I think there's 5,000 or 6,000 in the Switch library or something.
Yeah, so it's crazy, like, man.
It's freaking nuts. And so after that, though, I realized, okay, I'm not going to be playing all these. So I have literally, because once I got orders and knew I was moving to Hawaii, knew I had to pare down everything, I started like really contemplating going on a complete buying hiatus, except for stuff I'm going to play now. Mm-hmm. So if I'm not going to play it, and so stuff like the Final Fantasy Pixel Remaster, Doom Eternal stuff, I pre-ordered like a long time ago. Those were coming in, but I hadn't pre-ordered hardly anything unless there's like a really cool thing. A perfect example, Limited Run did a game release of Getsu Fumiden, which was a Famicom game.
Yeah.
They did a re-release of it on Switch and got Tom Dubois, who did the original Castlevania art, to do a box for it. So I got that version. And they've done that with Bloodstained when they did the retro Castlevania-style Bloodstained games, the Circle of the Moon 1 and 2. They had Tom Dubois do that art. I always try to get those pieces because that artist, he's awesome.
Yeah.
And so that's the kind of cool stuff that I've been kind of shaping my collection into recently. So I bought that game. That was like the first game I've bought from Limited Run in a long time. And then I got this game called Trinity Trigger, which we covered on the podcast. They had a cool Super Nintendo box looking one. It's like Secret of Mana. It was okay. Yeah. It didn't hook me, so I was pausing on it. But I was able to get it pretty affordable for the limited edition, which I thought was cool. So but that's it. I bought like two games, man. And then Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
And so, like, I've been very, very,
selective.
Honing in and selective. Now, in Hawaii, there aren't any retro game stores out here that I found yet. Even the old Nintendo Age list, there was nothing in Hawaii on the Nintendo Age game store list in Hawaii. Nothing.
Got it.
But we went to the Ala Moana Mall here in Honolulu, down the road, and they have a Target there. I was just saw the guy there stocking some games, and I was mentioning, hey, because I was looking for the Tears of the Kingdom controller. And I was like, hey, do you have the controller? Oh, no, that's sold out first day. Just casually thinking about it, I saw people on Facebook. I'm like, hey, the other thing that's ironic is people are, returning the Tears of the Kingdom collector's editions. It's wild because people are, like, returning those things. It's like, oh, now that you mention it, we just had one returned today.
Nice.
So, right behind me.
Wow.
I have the collector's edition.
Wow.
Yeah.
Returned. So what, did a scalper buy like a whole slew of them and couldn't flip them or what?
Well, we're in Hawaii. So I'm thinking that there's a slight crease on the front right side. A little bit of. So they might have just returned it because there was some damage that they consider damage. I am 100% cool with getting it at retail. I think it was 120, 130 bucks, whatever it was. Yeah. That's how much it costs. Like, I was like, okay, I had to carry that thing around the damn mall all day.
Yeah, it's a nice anchor to carry with you.
It's also where I got this hat, Kev.
Nice. TNC, man. Thrilla. Maybe. Thrilla. Thrilla the Gorilla. Yeah,
the whole store here. So I got some classic. And I am going to buy a TNC surfboard eventually.
That's cool, North Shore. Man. That's so cool.
I learned how to surf. I can surf now, which is crazy.
Really?
I can actually. Wow. Yeah, I can carve waves. Like, it's wild. I'm going next weekend again.
That's a full body workout, man.
Dude, I was exhausted.
But the real question is, are you going to get better at California games, the retro game? Improve that ability.
Got to definitely work on my Cali games next. But it's Hawaii games out here. Yeah. So
I know. I was just saying, it's making me think the surf games were always the hardest in video games. It makes me think when you saw that TNC, I could never do anything on that surfboard level.
Well, like, all I did in TNC is you just hit it at the pitch and do that. Just do that. And then eventually just hold right and get to the end. And I could do that over. And it was like, once you figured it out, though, it was very monotonous.
Yeah.
Whereas the skateboard level is awesome. Tiki Man, skateboard.
That's pretty nuts.
I've been collecting Tiki. That's the other thing. I've been collecting Tiki out here, too. I got a lot of Tiki shit now. It's amazing.
Well, you know, it's the real deal where you're at.
Yeah. It is the real deal. I actually have a hand-carved one that I got. I went to a couple different Tiki bars where they have mugs. Definitely. I've been doing that for years now, but now I'm going to start. Because, I mean, I wear Hawaiian shirts all the time. They're called Aloha shirts out here. I've been wearing them all the time. And so now I just have a ton of them. Wild. So,
hey, man, when in Rome.
So a collection pared down, now doing Hawaiian shirts and Tiki stuff on top of video game. It's cool, though, man.
Yeah, it's cool. Whatever brings you joy, man. That's why I say at the end of the day.
Exactly. And then the other piece is, you know, as now a physical games publisher, making cool shit has been fun. So, like, making... hand selecting, just like we do what we play or what we collect, hand selecting what I'm going to publish, and then making the absolute coolest thing with cool ass artists. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the other piece of the madness now, is that working on stuff all the time. Like, that's kind of how I've pivoted, though, with my collection, is like super, super slim. And going toward these portables that we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Playing everything on deck, on Switch. And on analog, so that's kind of where I'm going to. When I finally retire and move down to Florida, I'm going to figure out a way to do it right with all the retro consoles. But right now, no CRT, man.
Yeah.
Can't do it. Oh.
You'll be going through CRT withdrawal.
Where are you collecting now, Kevin? That's the question.
Oh, jeez. I'm collecting now. Really, it's really been a halt on it. The only thing I could say that retro-wise that kind of perks my interest is, like, when I go to play my collection, you know how there's sometimes you'd want an ideal controller, like maybe an arcade stick for certain beat-em-ups on certain systems and stuff. I've been keeping my eyes peeled more for peripheral collecting because it's all about enhancing the nostalgia experience. And if I already have, like, say, a typical controller and they had, like, an equivalent that was OEM, like an arcade stick, like an example I've been looking for, because the original PlayStation, I stockpiled on those PS1 games when they were cheaper. I got like a lot of Street Fighters at the time for a song, and I'm like, yeah, Street Fighter and the original PS1 controller isn't the best fit. You know, it isn't the best fit. So I did my homework, and I'm gonna say ASCIIware did a PS1 arcade stick, like a big old arcade stick.
It's the one that has like the little like bellowed in the middle.
Yeah, it's kind of like a bubble on there. And that's kind of on my hit list to probably pick that up to enhance, you know, enjoying those Street Fighters on the PS1 a little bit better. But I'm kind of a collector. You know me. If I see it in the wild, I'm not one of those. I'm just going to eBay and hit a button. So I'm a wild guy when it comes to that stuff. So if I see it, I take it as a sign. Price is right, then I'll pick it up. But lately, I've been keeping my eyes peeled for that. That and actually the
that's other- it. That's it, man. The eBay thing is makes it too easy. I'm not going to find any games out here. and the thing is like, I didn't realize how crazy until I joined a couple of Tiki groups. Like, there's people, they're selling Tiki crap every day. There's new stuff. Wow. I want to go to the places in person, and that's the stuff I'm going to do. Just the same way, man. So I don't change my stripes.
Yep. I hear you.
Where were you going with this?
The only other one I was going to say is it's kind of funny. It's PS1 related again. I can never find, and I hate if I get painted into a corner, I may bend the rule if it comes to like a special occasion, is the PS1 mouse. I can't find one of those. Save my life out in the wild, man. Because I don't know if people realize it really enhances your experience with Final Doom on the PS1. If you've ever played Final Doom on PS1, people that play it with the mouse, they say once you play it with the mouse, they're like, you don't want to play it any other way. Final Doom on the PS1. I'm like, cool, that sounds interesting to try out. That, and there's also people don't realize there's like Warcraft, there's Diablo, there's a lot of cool old PC games that were released and have their own unique version on the PS1 that work with the mouse that you'd want to use a mouse on it for. And that kind of perked my interest, so it goes into my peripheral hunting I'm on lately for like a PS1 mouse.
You know what I'm going to have to do is on the deck, I'm going to have to load Final Doom on there for PS1. Mm-hmm. On there, they have these little trackpads, so it's like a mouse. So
that'd be interesting.
Emulate. So I'm going to try to see what I can do with that, because
that'd be cool.
Super interesting. I completely get doing the peripheral hunt and and wanting to experience things as, you know, interesting and as fun as possible. Just having a nice fun time. Setup times is what killed me with retro gaming.
Yeah.
So unless it was like in my setup that was on my TV, it's like, man, do I want to go hunt down
the Sega Saturn
and then find all the pieces? And here's the worst part now. Is it's like going back to a game that I've only played for an hour and hadn't went back. I have so many of these little additions and peripherals and things that I've added. For example, like on the MSX, I had this MSX flash cart with it and all these extra things. I don't know where that flash cart is, nor the power supply for it, or how to flash the flash cart anymore. It was like you had to do it. It's like now I don't even know how I'm going to do those things. It was like the tape deck emulator for the Commodore 64 that I had. I'm not going to use that thing anymore, man. Like,
oh, man. Yeah, you loved that one. I remember when you had that thing rolling. You had it on SD card. It was cooking.
There's not even a headphone jack on my phone to load anymore. Like, how am I going to do that stuff? It's just like there's so many little nuances that I'll just move to emulation for certain stuff when it comes to that stuff.
I'm kind of with you on that, too. It's like, you know what? Convenience is really going to win over time. But, you know, at the end of the day, unless it's something you got some heavy nostalgia for, like, say, your Super Nintendo or N64 with that wonky-ass controller some people love, you know, that's the only way I could see those old systems kind of staying alive for people going out of their way to play it because they want that authentic feel. But emulation and FPGAs have come such a long way, it's hard to ignore, you know?
Well, I'm like thinking more so like, so when I, you know, get out to my final resting place in in Florida, it's like, all right, so what consoles will I hook up that will be installed? Super Nintendo, Genesis, like what's Turbo, like what's going to be hooked up? Or do I FPGA it or Polymega it, if you've heard of
that? Yeah, I've heard of that one, the Polymega. I haven't experienced it. That's interesting what they do, though, those modular connections.
Yeah.
My
concern is it's not FPGA, which means there'll be lag.
Yeah, I don't like that. FPGA I'm cool with because I've played some devices and that's dead accurate. Yeah. But yeah, when you got software emulation, that latency, no punch out on there.
Well, and my thing is, and I've realized this over the years, after 16-bit, I don't care. I don't care after 16-bit. But 8-bit, 16-bit, I absolutely, lag kills me. So anything,
that's true.
NES, Super Nintendo, Genesis, TurboGrafx, I can't deal with the lag. Even arcade stuff is like somewhat, if I'm really familiar with the arcade, it bothers me. But when I go to PlayStation 2, I can't notice it. I don't notice it.
Yeah, I would imagine that would go away with the more modern stuff because it wasn't so intense like the old days, man, where you had to hit it right at that frame or that time for you to make that happen. So I hear you on that. Yeah.
Well, then the other thing I've seen recently in the last like year is scanline purists now. So there are people who don't want to play pixel perfect on a television and they want to play it now how it was intended to be played on a CRT. And it's more so from a graphical aesthetic perspective because those scan lines, especially on N64 and PlayStation, blended the jaggies to make it a little more rounder. It was a little blurriness, a little blurry factor on it, but it made it look a little better on the TV because that's what they had to deal with. They tried to make the graphics pop more. Whereas then when you do it straight up, you're missing those blending things that they wanted to achieve with coloring and stuff. Some of the ugly, muddy graphics that you'll see on a 64 or PlayStation actually were intended to be blended on a CRT.
Really? And yeah, that's true.
So there's been a whole purist movement in the last year or so and making sure people play it on a CRT as it was intended versus using, because I know you're heavy with the FrameMeister and getting everything to run at the right, you know, frames. And now people are like going back like, not even just going out.
Well, no, I started with the Framemeister, and then I noticed the lag issues, and I tossed that. And what I keep the Framemeister for is like recording purposes, but I actually have it connected to my PVM. So the PVM will feed, I play on the PVM, and it also feeds a connection to the Framemeister for recording purposes. But no, once you play on CRT, and you can't really go away from that, especially on your generations, you're saying 8-bit, 8 and 16-bit, it's necessary. I'm sorry, there's really no way around it.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of how, as I even get older, now are my thumbs going to be, you brought something up today, are my thumbs going to be able to do it, man?
I hope it don't happen to you, man. It was life-changing for me. I woke up for 3 months and not doing nothing with that hand like I used to.
Not yet, but I mean, right now I'm staying in shape until I retire, so.
That's the way to do it, man. But no, I think it's ultimate, like when you do have your ultimate setup, kind of what I got in my basement is you just build a retro cart and you do like a select few consoles, and it's like, these need to be CRT. So I got like my TurboGrafx on there, my Sega Genesis, my Nintendo and Super Nintendo, and a PS1, and you know what? That's what I want, that's my CRT it. Action, pretty much.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I think that's a good way to approach it too. And sounds like you make it approachable so that way when you can carve out, you know, 15, 20 minutes.
With exactly. Like it's all wired up. It takes a lot of time to get it perfect. But now I just flip a switch and it's like as modern as you can make that retro setup, you know. So it's quick and easy to play, especially with, you know, the options of EverDrives and everything else in this day and age. It's like, you know, you're not digging through a drawer being like, where'd I put that game for 10 years?
That's even complicates it even more, but I 100% understand and support doing EverDrives.
Oh, definitely.
It just makes it convenient.
Yeah.
And then it's always funny that then you think about it. So as long as you can emulate it, aka FPGA, perfectly, you're using an EverDrive. It's still a ROM, still a digital file. So it's not much different than just
exactly. It's the same thing and just put an SD card in FPGA, and then that EverDrive was just the middleman for reading the SD card, if you think about it.
Yeah. Then you go back to, then it's the accessory and playing on the original controller feel.
Yeah.
That's
key.
Yeah.
For, especially so, for me.
I want to play it with the original sponginess of the Genesis D-pad and the
big one. Yeah. Can never get enough of that sponge.
It's just the different aesthetics, or the original grit on the Super Nintendo controller before it got all smooth and you played it too much.
But, yep.
And concave button on the Y. And the That's one. Like those are the classics. But speaking of carving out some time, we got enough time to talk a little Direct real quick.
Yeah, let's squeeze that one. The good segue from the Super Nintendo to the Direct. Let's knock that one out.
So, Nintendo did a Direct. Some people are saying this is one of the best Directs of all time.
Of all time? Really?
That's what people were saying. Wow. I think it was excellent.
Yeah, it was good.
I think it was a great one. Yeah. And so, the only thing that it didn't do was didn't talk about Metroid Prime 4 at all. That's what people were really hoping for.
Yeah, they never talk about Metroid ever, it feels like.
No. I mean, we got Dread, like, we just got Dread recently. I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
I didn't expect them to talk Prime 4, though. But I literally took notes as I watched the video in 1.5 speed on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And so, first thing that they talked about, Pokemon update for the newest Pokemon game. I wrote meh. Like,
I'm not a Pokemoner. I'm too old for it, I guess. I don't know. It wasn't my time era when I was there. It's not our time era.
And this is how we'll go through now. Yeah. The thing that's ironic is Pokemon Sword and Shield, Bundan got into it and completely mastered the game on Pokemon Shield. And so with that, I was like, all right, cool. Do you want to get the new one? She's like, no. She didn't want to do it at all. I was like, all right.
She's like, I'm done. I'm good.
Well, and this was the Pokemon the hell the glitches when it was released. So you had the little motorcycle Pokemon that you ride around and everything, and it's been glitchy as hell, and there's a bunch, it's like jank.
Really?
And people have been enjoying it, and I think they fixed some stuff, but this is the big update for that, and I'm like, I don't play Pokemon, sorry. The second game that they talked about, Sonic Superstars. Sonic Superstars. So it's a 2D Sonic game, classic, like Sonic Mania, 4-player local co-op
Yep.
in a Sonic game. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I wonder how smooth that's going to feel, that many people trying to go fast.
You know? Well, the thing that people usually don't realize, though, is with Sonic the Hedgehog, it was always about the little roller coaster parts. But realistically, it was a precision platformer.
Yeah.
That's where, is it going to be annoying, like A-Hole Mario, Super Mario Brothers, new Super Mario Wii, falling into holes all the time? If that's the case, people will be frustrated. Mm-hmm. If they add a Kirby feature where you give each other health and boost each other up and they kind of baby it, it'll actually make the game much, much better if they give us kid gloves.
Yeah.
But can they capture that sense of speed? From the trailer, it looked like they did.
Yeah. No, it looked like it's promising, but I'm skeptical till I actually play it.
Exactly. And I know Sonic Origin recently came out. Physical for Switch, so I need to pick that up for sure. I mean, there's no game stores where I'm at, man, and I'm not buying it. But that and Final Fantasy 16 I haven't bought yet, and I need to. And again, right to the backlog, so do I buy it or do I wait? To the back.
Yeah, that backlog just getting bigger than a storage unit, you know?
Jeez, I have a storage unit.
That is your backlog.
I have a second storage unit too. But yeah, dude. So Sonic Superstars looks cool.
Yeah.
The next one was some free to play sim looking game. I wrote meh.
Yeah.
I didn't write down the name.
Yeah, I'm the same way with that one. I'm looking at the list too, and I'm going down. I'm like, I remember just glancing through that one. Like, no thanks.
There was a tactical Persona 5 game. I wrote meh.
Yeah. People love that series. I just have not had the time or energy to give it the college try yet.
Yeah. The next one was a Saturday morning cartoon roguelike. Now that one.
Looked interesting.
Yeah, it was like everything that all the graphics look cartoony. I don't think there's any like known intellectual properties, which makes it less interesting.
Yeah.
But I think from a play loop perspective, it looks like it could be fun. Might be worth checking out when it comes out.
Yeah.
Again, didn't write down the name.
Yeah, it has potential.
Yeah. Then they talked about Splatfest. I don't play Splatoon, so I was like, okay, skip ahead.
Yeah.
You do anything with Splatoon or no?
No, not a Splatooner neither. I mean, wish it came out so sooner when I had time. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I completely knew. Detective Pikachu with a weird deep voice. I thought that was weird as hell.
Yeah.
Pikachu.
Doesn't seem to match his aesthetic well.
No, I think that's part of the charm of what it's supposed to be going for. But again, Pokemans, I'm not into any of that.
Yeah, me neither.
So then after that was probably my favorite reveal of the day. Super Mario RPG Remastered.
That caught me off guard. I was like, wow. That is my favorite, too.
Yeah, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Here's the irony. So let's go back and talk about this analog pocket that I was talking about.
Yep.
Before Zelda Tears of the Kingdom was released, I had watched some kind of retrospective on Mario RPG, and I'm like, I'm going to start playing it again. And I started it up again.
Oh,
I
started playing
it again, and I got through the first boss. Not Bowser, but later, the first boss of the first time. I got through that, and then I was like, and then this was released. So the question I have now is infinite backlog possibilities. Do I just play other things in my backlog and wait until November when Super Mario RPG Remaster is released and just play the brand new one? Or do I play it for 100 hours trying to fit it in with all this other new stuff?
Yeah, that's a tough call. It all depends what kind of nostalgia feel you're getting from the original. But it would be cool to play and then play this to compare.
Well, this looks cool, right?
Yeah.
But I do have a super fond nostalgia of the original graphics from Mario RPG. Like, I remember when it came out, I still had my Super Nintendo. I remember buying it new because I was working at the time at, I think, Strachan and Till. I was working as a, you know, as bagging groceries for people and get tips. And I remember buying that and getting the strategy guide. I love that freaking game. So I don't know if I'm going to dig it as much. I hope that they don't change anything. If they keep the timing and...
That's the key thing with that one. I like the new aesthetic they put on it, but I hope they don't like mess with the mechanics, you know, because the mechanics were solid on it.
Exactly. Like you said. Yeah. So that one, though, freaking amazing.
Yeah, that's probably my biggest one I'm looking forward to be honest, for me.
There was still some good stuff that's coming.
No, there's still good stuff, but that one probably my biggest interest at this point.
Well, and then, like, right after that, Nintendo talked about a Princess Peach isometric game that's coming out. And it's not recreating Super Princess Peach. It's, like, a new Princess Peach game. Why I think that's cool is because after seeing the Super Mario Brothers movie, London said that was the best movie she's ever seen in her life. Super Peach. So, maybe that'll get my daughter to get out of Roblox and Minecraft and play
something else. There you go. Else. All right.
Maybe.
All right. Good luck.
And if it's not the genres and the style that you and I like, probably not gonna be buying it for myself, but I'll buy it for her.
Oh yeah. I hear you.
If she wants it. But if she doesn't want it, just like Pokemon, I'm not buying it unless she says yes.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I agree on that.
After that, Nintendo talked about Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, which to me is super cool because I love the original Luigi's Mansion, and then Luigi's Mansion 3 is cool. I did get stuck at a boss. There was like this janitor boss in the water in part 3 that I could never beat. I never went back. But Dark Moon was cool, and I played it. I don't know if I mastered it or whatever, but because of the 3DS piece, you had to play it in 3D to get the most out of it. It was like I just didn't want to go back to the 3DS stuff. So it's like having it come out now on Switch is pretty damn cool. One that I'll definitely purchase for the system. You went to Luigi's Mansion at all with that? Or
Luigi's Mansion, I tried the originals. I have picked up the Dark Moon in the past on 3DS, like you said, and I literally put it on the shelf with intentions to play, and I think it's still sealed on my shelf.
So, I mean, the thing is that, like, those games, because I remember the original Luigi's Mansion, I played the hell out of it when I got my GameCube. And then Dark Moon and playing the original. And then part 3, they're just chill. I like that you just go around. It's Ghostbusters, man.
Yeah, it's at your pace. It's nice.
Exactly. Next one is a port of the Batman Arkham game. So it reminds me, like, oh, there's another Wii U exclusive that's now on the Switch.
More. What else was successful on the Wii U that we can port over, they probably said.
But it's all 3 games.
Convenience.
I'm skeptical that it's going to be complete on cart, which means you're probably going to have a hefty download on your system.
I would think so.
There's no way. There's no way all 3 of those.
That's a lot of space, man, because I actually have that whole Arkham trilogy on my Xbox One, and I want to say that's like over 100 gigs easy with all the DLC and stuff. So, you know, with Doom Eternal, I don't even think they offered Doom Eternal physical on the Switch because it was too big. So that kind of tells you right there. I don't think Batman.
No, they actually a limited run did offer Doom Eternal on Switch. That's why it took like me a year and a half to get it.
Gotcha. I just meant initial one. I remember. Yeah.
Oh no, they definitely didn't do it initially. It took forever. I bet it's still not as good. The next one is a tactical card board game called Gloomhaven. I wrote meh.
Next, I don't know. Nothing about tactical card games for me.
You're going to be super excited about this next one, Kevin. Is Just Dance 2024.
Oh, my daughter and my wife would be. Not me. They might be excited about it.
Dude, it was pretty funny. It was like a few years back, London wanted me to really get the Just Dance games. And I remember we got one because it was the Lady Gaga song, whatever she was liking it. And she like got her workout clothes. She was actually doing it one time, and then she played like once, and that was it. Got her own backlog.
Yeah.
She got her own backlog.
It's the modern power pad. You pull it out, you have fun with it once, you put it away.
Exactly. Now, you say that, but back in the day with Ring Fit Adventure, I did play that a little bit during COVID. I did try to make that.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Actually, Candace bought that, and she played that for a while. I remember her having fun with that one.
It was cool, man.
It was interesting.
And the thing is that fitness ring, it actually is pretty tough if you like you're curling and stuff. It actually is tough. So it was good to add to your workout regimen.
Yeah, for fun.
So the next one, there's an action RPG, 7 dungeons, but it's a roguelike with crafting. I don't know what the name is.
Is that the Silent Hope? Was that
yeah, it looked okay. It's the one that's right after Just Dance, and
yeah,
it looked Silent okay. Hope.
It yeah, looks it's
cool.
Just, it's just time consuming. It looks like that's kind of against what we were talking about.
When you're talking crafting, if it's something where you just got to sit there and build, it's an immediate turnoff for me.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I'm kind of arcadey, pick up and go kind of guy, especially nowadays. I mean, back in the day when like we had nothing but time.
But. If I go find treasure chests with stuff in it, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
If I have to go and build things, I'm less interested. Yeah. Cooking elixirs in Zelda Tears of the Kingdom is okay because it's faster.
It's not that bad.
But like, I have to go and like build a whole town or like ActRaiser. We have to build the whole world. Like,
Then
it's simulation. I'm not interested in Sims.
Yep. I hear you on that one.
And speaking of Sims, the next one was a farm game. I wrote meh.
Yeah. No, thanks. We got a real garden in our backyard. That's enough farming for me.
Yeah, I got chores. Like, I ain't trying to.
Exactly.
Trying to do none of that.
Virtual chores.
Yes. After that was Hot Wheels 2. I don't know if you played the first Hot Wheels game.
Actually, my wife picked it up for me and the kids just because they love Hot Wheels. I mean, my son, he just sits there and runs it on a course that automatically flips it, and he plays it all day, man. He's like, he's going to be 2 in November, and he still to this day can't get enough of the cars on that. And it was a pretty solid racer when I played it with him.
Like F-Zero.
Yeah, I was like, man, they really knocked it out. And I didn't pay attention who actually made that, who was the developer on that, but they did a good job on that game.
Well, like, where I thought it was cool, and again, I played it for like an hour, didn't play it anymore, but it was awesome when I did. What I liked, though, is some of the cars in there were ones I owned as a kid. Like, there's I had the little shark car. Like, I had some of those Hot Wheels.
Yeah, the nostalgia that got you on that. Yeah. It was cool opening those. I mean, you can open even more of them, and they have other older ones. And I noticed that, too. A few of them that were familiar ones that I wanted when I was a kid, I saw, too. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, what didn't it have, like, a Gachapon-style random get the car? So, yeah, I remembered that. And to me, that, I think, is why I stopped playing it, because it was, like, the scope creep of, like, do I want to get every single damn thing and play it for hours?
Yeah, it's not for completionists. That could be a long game. But, you know what, for a pick-up and play, for kids, it's not bad if that's all you're gonna do with it.
And that's all I'm saying. So like, for your son, that could be his nostalgia.
Yeah,
right
here
there.
You go, man.
Second one comes out, dude, we're great. Like, you can get the second one too. Hopefully it does more of the same and you have fun with it.
Yeah, definitely.
And by the way, speaking of nostalgia, it wasn't on the Nintendo Direct, but did you see that there's a new wrestling game called AEW Fight Forever that's released?
You know, I heard of it, but I didn't see anything about it. I wanted to look at that one.
So that game comes out, I think, next week.
Yeah.
And it is by Yuke's, the guys who created, like, the original SmackDown versus Raw 2K
style. Gotcha. Fight
and
Forever.
It's supposed to play like WWF No Mercy or WrestleMania 2000 a little bit.
Yeah, and that looks pretty cool.
Looks cool.
Wow.
I pre-ordered it for Switch. I'm not sure if that's a mistake or not. I got it for Switch because it might not be good on Switch. It might be good on PS5 or something.
Yeah, that's the problem. You're kind of throwing the dice sometimes with anything that looks like it'll be pushing the limits on the system. Wow. Yeah, that looks pretty funny. I'm looking at the pictures.
And I'll be honest, though, like my PS5, my wife uses it for TV and playing games herself, so I don't get much time on the PS5. So it's
an HBO Max machines for the wives.
Exactly. So do I.
Yeah, good luck. So then you'll be fighting her for it.
I pre-ordered it on Amazon so I could get broken Matt Hardy. He goes, wonderful. I did that, but we'll see.
That'll be interesting.
So back to the Direct.
Yep.
The next thing was called Maniac Mechanics. I was like, didn't look at mechanical game.
Yeah, more building and stuff. I mean, it's a cool idea, but it's just not my cup of tea, and yours, obviously, too.
Next one was the Mario Rabbids DLC. Again, not
my bag. The first one that came out, my wife loved it and went through it, and I'm like, she doesn't even play games like that, so I don't know. It hooked her, but maybe she'll like that one.
I tried.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
Me neither. I'm more, when it's Mario, I want to like go, not the strategic play with Mario so much. But ironically, I still like Super Mario RPG, so I guess I don't know what I'm talking about. But that still had some action in there, you know, jumping around and stuff.
Well, to me, it's anytime you get to the tactical grid-based gameplay, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
So like, that's kind of what that is. This is probably the most approachable, the best that I played.
Mm-hmm.
But I played for like an hour of the original, and I was like, it still didn't grab me like I wanted to. It's just,
I hear you.
Something about that genre I'm not interested in, and it was the best that I've played in the genre, and I still was like,
it just doesn't stick for you.
Next one is Dragon Quest Monsters Dark Prince, which I think is a remake of a Wii game. I think it was WiiWare or something. I'm on the fence about it. It looks kind of cool. Might be action RPG, or it's more like Pokemon, I think.
Yeah, that's what I noticed. That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah, when I looked at it, I just like, oh, they took the Pokemon and then they labeled it with Dragon Quest characters, which is cool if you like that type of setup. But I enjoyed the all Dragon Quest themed things because I grew up with more Dragon Quest and Final Fantasy back in the day. So it's cool. But yeah, at the same time, Dragon Quest Builder's about as crazy as I could get with a modern Dragon Quest. And that's about it.
I only played number one of Builders, never got number two, which I'm still looking for in the wild.
Yeah.
Ironically, though, Dragon Quest XI, I got all the way to the end of the first major story arc. This is when I was doing the Switch Mania Playcast back in the day. Apparently, that's like the first of three acts. And I'm like, I played that for like 60 hours or some shit.
Wow.
I just remember this was like, I want to say it was COVID or it was back in the day. I remember I was going around and doing these like rucks. So I had to go rucking with the army with a big backpack. Mm-hmm. And I would sit there with my Switch and I would sit there and run around the overworld and playing Dragon Quest XI, tapping A so I could level up my characters so I could grind. I was grinding while I was rucking. And so like I got really powerful in it. But then after that first act stopped, it was awesome cliffhanger, I never went back.
It happens. I've been there with
it's
certain
cool,
games
though. I love the really, game is awesome.
Yeah,
might be one of my favorite Dragon Quest games. But dude, yeah, so Monsters, I'm on the fence again.
I'm with you.
Next one on the fence about as well, Pikmin 4. What do you know about Pikmin? You all about all that Pikmin?
Once again, that is my wife's bag. She says, I hate that game, and then she buys it and beats it. But she hates it because she gets addicted to it and can't. She won't stop playing till she beats those. So she went through 1 through 3 really good. I'll probably surprise her with 4 one time or another when it comes out. But she enjoys it. I think it's kind of neat to watch, but, I mean, it just never was for me. Yeah. I mean,
I do feel like that's another game where they do the genre like about as perfect as you possibly could.
Yeah.
But then I
it just doesn't. Yeah. We got different tastes. That's all it is at the end of the day. It's good for what it is, but it's just not for us.
I'm also, you know, having that OCD mindset. I don't want to get addicted to it.
It's good to know when you have that to avoid things.
Yeah. Well, and then just to add to Candace's enjoyment is HD Pikmin 1 and 2 were announced.
Yeah, I saw that now. And I'm like, man, that's going to be slick. So, yeah, I'm going to have to probably hook her up with that.
Yep. So I'm not sure if that's going to be physical or not. Might be digital. But so the next one I think I am pretty super interested in. They announced Volume 1 of the Metal Gear Solid collection.
I saw that.
I thought that was cool because that it's Metal Gear Solid 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. It's the NES Metal Gear and Snake's Revenge and the MSX Metal Gear and Solid Snake.
It's a lot, man. That is a lot for one game. You're getting your money's worth of that.
And, I mean, I'll be real. I haven't really played Metal Gear Solid. I played Solid 1 a lot. Never beat it. I played Solid 2 a lot as Raiden. Never beat it. Never played 3.
Wow.
And I played the original Metal Gear. I never played 2.
That's hilarious. You and me are very similar with that because the NES ones is about as what I played, and I played a lot of the Solid for the PS1, and then I have them all, and I've collected them because I'd find them in the wild for cheap, but I have yet to pop any of them in after that.
Well, and it would be interesting to know if VR Missions is also going to be on there as an unlockable for Solid.
Yeah, I remember that one. I picked that one up, too. That was another song. That's interesting. Yeah, I'm excited for that one, and I like that they said Volume 1, so I can only imagine if that's successful what Volume 2 is going to entail.
Shit, Volume 2 might just be number 4, because it's all cinematics.
Yeah.
5 on there or something. Mm-hmm.
Be interesting.
Yeah. And maybe that Raiden game, Resurgence or Revengeance or whatever it's called, Metroid.
Oh, that's right.
That game is supposed to be amazing, and I never played it. But it's
I've heard good things about that one, too. I never played it, though.
Heard it's like, we need to experience it.
Mm-hmm.
like he's using his sword and cutting down mechs and stuff, but giant mech robots. Stuff like. Not Metal Gear at all, though.
Yeah. Not at all.
Next thing announced was Vampire Survivors, which I'm not sure if you're familiar with Vampire Survivors.
You got to educate me on that one.
So Vampire Survivors is Castlevania-based. However, it is an overhead. It's almost a maneuver 'em up.
Okay.
So you play as a character, and he has an attack. And everything comes at you, and you have to avoid them and attack. So you have like a whip. And then as you update, you can whip twice, or you can your whip gets longer.
Like
holy water that you throw, or you get the cross, or you get the giant axe.
Yeah.
And as you level up, you get more axes and more crazy, to the point where you have like chaos going on all around. You just kill everything and level up. And it sounds crazy, but it's addictive as hell. That was one thing when I was going through, the situation with Kyle. Mm-hmm. I needed a game to mindlessly play, and you can mindlessly play this game in short stints.
Nice. So
it is something where you could pick it up after the kids are going to bed, just play around the Vampire Survivors.
Oh, that's cool. Good trance game.
But what they announced at the Direct, which was super cool, is four-player couch co-op.
Couch co-op is anything I'm for.
It's only been single player. And here's the thing. You could download Vampire Survivors on your phone and play it and have fun with it. It's actually great on the phone. I played it on Steam Deck. I played it. And it's great on deck. And it was like $4 or something. Like super affordable.
It looks pretty cool from what I can see here.
It's cool as hell. What I like is the garlic. Garlic gives you a ring. And you can just into things, and so as people get stronger, you need to level up the garlic so you can kill the stronger enemies. But it's
got it.
Then you add other things onto it, other different weapons and abilities, and it's freaking awesome. And you unlock multiple characters. It's
This looks really, like it could really get pretty awesome. Pretty crazy and fun at the same time.
Yeah, that was like the viral game of like last year. It was like top game on Steam Deck. Like it won a bunch of awards, but it was it was a viral game back in the day. But now that it's on Switch and couch co-op, I feel like that's the ultimate edition to get.
Definitely.
If they're not doing a physical, I would absolutely do the physical.
There you go. Put it out there.
Yeah. You say never, never, but like those things come about. Next one, some kind of pigeon game that Nintendo announced. I wrote meh.
Yeah, that looks like a meh. It almost looks like a shovelware. I don't know what that's all going to be like. Exactly. Next.
So the next one is this Penny game. It's a 3D platformer. It's made by the Sonic Mania team, though. That one looked really cool to me. And unlike Kyle back in the day, I like my 3D mascot platformers. Do love them. And this looked like what I wanted stuff like the A Hat in Time to be. I don't know if you heard of A Hat in Time.
Yep, I remember that one coming out.
And that game was right there. Then there was the game that the guy from Sega Saturn, I think it was Yuzo, I'm saying it wrong.
Yeah.
Made
Yuzo.
Yuzo because
Kushiro.
Remember the game that he made with all the different abilities and stuff and everybody hated it?
Yeah, I can't remember what the heck it was, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I remember we had talked about it in the Playcast back in the day, and didn't quite like it because you get all these different abilities, all these different things that you could do, but you couldn't, like, jump.
Take away something basic like that.
One ability would allow you to jump, but then another ability wouldn't, and it was just like, it was just almost there again. I hope this game, because it's made by the guys who did Sonic Mania, maybe it's honed in because it's passionate.
Yeah, I think they'd probably put them on the right track. Sonic Mania was an awesome game.
So the Penny, it's some Penny game, looks really cool. That one has my interest piqued. Next game they did, they talked about the Mario Kart 8 Pass 5 release.
Make it like Fortnite up. Now, it seems have like. You just kept give them with
Mario Kart.
After I think after the first or second DLC I did, and then I'm just like, I'm carded out.
I kept the pass or whatever because I have the Switch online, but that game turns into crazy scope creep for me. And the reason being is because London has a nostalgia for playing Mario Kart 8 from back in the day.
Gotcha.
Like years ago when it first came out.
Yeah.
And now she'll get a hair up her ass and she'll want to play it with me. The problem is that we never play it, so then I have to wait for like a damn hour for crap to download. And it takes up space on my Switch, so I'm deleting games. And then we play it one time for like a couple hours, and then we don't touch it again.
Damn modern games. Can't just be on a carton powered up.
That and Smash Ultimate are the two that constantly updates, man.
Those are hogs on the system, man, just for space and time.
I don't keep up with them. Yeah. You know, just like nostalgia and backlog, I don't keep up with them. But when London and Andrea want to play them, and it's fun as hell when we do.
Oh, it is. They're great. You just got to prepare for it. Be like, okay, you want to play this weekend? I'll start now, and then I'll be ready for this weekend.
Exactly. Let me start the updates right now.
Exactly.
But like the cart pasta looked cool because there were some new characters that Asshole Comic is in there and, and some of the enemies. So that's cool if they give us some new characters. They haven't done that in a while. And of course, it's amazing that we get new Mario Kart shit all the time. It's
awesome. nothing bad with that one. That'll always be a success. Usually it's hard to screw up Mario Kart with how good they design it nowadays.
So the next thing that was talked about, Star Ocean Second Star. You have a nostalgic for Star Ocean Second.
I have nothing for Star Oceans.
So original Star Ocean was on Super Nintendo on Super Famicom version only, fan translated. Yeah. Star Ocean 1 and 2, first departure, second, whatever, were released on PlayStation 1.
Okay, yeah, I'm seeing pictures now.
And then later on PSP. Mm-hmm. The thing is that this one, why it's cool, is it went to that 2.5D pixel art.
Whereas
they did the crappy Flash game art on the PSP version. And so the thing is what I'm tracking, because my buddy Frank Wood, who's on a marketing dude for Premium, he is super into Star Ocean. He says number two is the one to play. Way better than number one. So he said this game is the one to play. Again, though, 120-200 hour RPG. So,
I've never played it. It looks like it reminds me of that Lunar game that people talk about. I've never got to play Lunar. Yeah. It looks I mean, just kind of reminds me of that from what I'm seeing with the aesthetics, which everybody says good things about that series too.
Well, because and this pixel graphics, this 2.5D pixel art, I love that style. Because you have that, you have the ones we talked about earlier, Octopath Traveler 1 and 2.
Yep, that was another
popular. Live, which was a Super Famicom game that they put in a 2.5D. That was Super Famicom RPG. That was released recently. Yeah. The Triangle Strategy is a strategy game. It was done in 2.5D, but not an RPG, so I wasn't even interested. But I do love that graphical aesthetic. It looks so freaking cool. So that one was really cool. Now the next one you're gonna really love. It's the WarioWare game, but with motion controls.
Oh yeah, man! I tell you, I'm a big WarioWare fan. I love that. That's like the party games, man. I cannot go wrong with those.
But what do you think about Nintendo still doing the most Nintendo thing and adding back motion controls to crap? Every time.
Well, you got to understand. I mean, I was against it with Smooth Moves on the Wii, but it did work well for WarioWare. That's just quick stints. You know what I mean? I'm not a big fan of motion controls and like when they ruined that Star Fox. What was that? Zero or whatever?
Oh,
God. I played that game once. I streamed it, and to that day, I put it away. I never played it again because of those forced motion controls.
I hope they release it for Switch and fix some of the problems.
That would be nice if they re-release that and like a remaster for Switch could use regular controls. Then I'd go back to actually playing the damn thing. But
I wanted to love it.
Yeah, me too. I couldn't. I think I did the first level and I'm like, I'm done. No, thanks. That was too grueling for me to deal with.
Yeah, this one's like interesting because 1-2 Switch was meh.
Yeah.
Switch Sports didn't take off like they wanted.
Yeah, not really.
But all the action stuff isn't really working. So hopefully this one, because
I think this one's got potential because you know WarioWare, it's quick, it's fun, it's easy, and they got they have those funny characters that kind of keep you entertained. So I think if they're gonna have a shot, this is their best shot to have any motion stuff be successful.
Yeah, I will probably gauge if Andrea and London are gonna play it with me whether I buy it or not.
Yeah, same with me. If the family wants it, then I'll probably jump in, but not just me by myself on that.
The next one is interesting, and it actually goes back to season one of VGBS.
What's that?
Nintendo Live Convention with tournaments. So, like, Nintendo World Championships.
Yeah.
With multiple So like, they're going to have it. I think it's in conjunction with PAX West. Mm-hmm. But essentially, this is almost like the first time Nintendo, outside of these Splatfests and stuff, that they're actually promoting a, I think it's Smash and Mario Kart tournaments or something like that, But it looks like it could be NWC.
Yeah.
Which, that'd be awesome. The NWC is cool because you got the retro shit. But
yep. Yeah, the good old the wizard.
I thought that was cool. Then the next thing that they pushed out was Tears of the Kingdom is going to have two more amiibos, Zelda and Ganondorf. Cool. Yep. They get these little sailing cloths with them when you unlock them, which I think is funny because they're releasing in the holiday. So that's like 6 more months.
Exactly.
And we're going to be way down. We're not going to scan them just to get the cloth after you've already played the
game. So you got to be pretty hardcore to go want the cloth by then.
Yeah, like I've already done all the things. I don't need a cloth.
I'm done.
I just swapped out because you could switch out the cloths like later on. And I just swapped out something that looked cool, and I never went back. Like it's cool. And then the final reveal,
finale, right?
This was probably one of the cooler things. So it's a new 3D HD Mario game, Super Mario Brothers Wonder.
Wonder Man.
So what I thought was cool was is that you have at least 5 playable characters. I think there's 6 because I noticed a section where they're playing as all the Yoshis.
Gotcha.
So maybe you can play as all the different Yoshi and just switch the colors. So maybe there's 6. Maybe that's just a level gimmick though. But I thought it was cool. The elephant power up looks funny.
Yeah, it just looks silly, but. You know,
But it's interesting that it still has an up-res new graphical aesthetic. However, the gimmick now is this wonder thing that messes with the world and the levels, which I think is exactly what the 2D Mario's needed, because we need to move away from that new Super Mario Brothers thing where they just do the same thing.
They needed something fresh, and I think this is hopefully the new fresh coat of paint that they've been looking for to keep the 2D Mario looking. Now, I don't know how you thought when you saw it for your first time, but when I saw this one for the first time, it made me think to myself of like an HD Super Mario World because of the perspective Mario's character's kind of looking, you know, he's kind of like at a 2.5D view, and that reminded me of the Super Nintendo, and I'm like, that's pretty cool, because all the other new Super Mario Brothers just made me feel like, oh, this is the DS game on a main console. Never made me really think nostalgically back of like, oh, this reminds me of Super Mario World, my favorite, you know, Super Mario there is, you know, and that's
hoping that they tighten the controls a little bit because the new series always had that floaty controls, a little bit floaty. And when you play like a Super Mario Maker or Super Mario Maker 2, there's a big difference between playing the Mario World and then moving to the new series on the controls. I hope that they tailor it back to being Super Nintendo style.
Oh, I agree. Give me that stop on a dime kind of control scheme, you know?
And I'll tell you, to this day, like, I will pop in Super Mario Maker 2 and jump in the online mode because they have World Maker and people make Mario World games. And I'll just jump in and I'll play a world or two. There's a couple makers that post stuff on Facebook and I'll get their code and I'll just play their worlds. And it's fun as hell. It's
it's amazing what people make.
And that's why, like, you know, because I don't know if you're realizing one of the games that Premium has up for pre-order is Zelda Maker.
Yeah.
It's up on their website. So like Super Dungeon Maker has that potential. The game is still, I still call it still in like early beta. Yeah. Even though it's on Switch, it's still in early mode. They're still working out the bugs with everybody. But like, once people start uploading their dungeons, dude, I'm going to be playing Infinite Zelda forever.
It's going to be Zelda nonstop, just like Mario. They're like, well, it worked with Mario. Who's next? Zelda. And then what's next after that? Metroid?
And I mean, to me, that goes into your backlog of, all right, if I want to play Mario 3, Mario World, and play Mario Maker 2 and play some new stuff.
Yep.
And then you got Zelda Link to the Past, you got Super Dungeon Maker. Now, you mentioned Metroid. Mm-hmm. Now, have you played A Robot Named Fight?
No, I have not played that one.
So, I released A Robot Named Fight. That was the first game we actually signed. That is Infinite Super Metroid.
Yeah, I remember seeing it.
So this looks good.
Familiar. I just never played it because it's Metroid. Yeah, I'm like, man, I ain't got time for it.
That's in that,
wow, that is
of amazing games that I never thought I'd have the opportunity to publish. Like, that game is like it plays and controls just like Super Metroid.
The aesthetic looks just like Super Nintendo too.
And the guy who created it, Matt Bittner, is like a damn genius. So there's billions of combinations. You'll never play the same level layout. It's roguelike.
Oh, that's cool.
However, your power unlock is like the Binding of Isaac style, where as you play through stuff, you'll unlock things that'll be available in future runs. Mm-hmm. And then as you learn the game, there's these shrines that you go to that you donate scrap to, mm-hmm. and you can control your power-ups that you get within a roguelike setting. So cool. If you get to this certain guy, you know if you donate this thing to him, you'll get this power-up, which then you can control and make yourself overpowered. Yeah. Like, it's so satisfying. Mm-hmm. And then there's unlockable modes. There's Mega Map, which makes the game gigantic. There's glitch levels with secret bosses. The bosses are full screen. Like, it is.
Wow. You can just live in almost any game nowadays.
But that game is literally infinite Metroid. So that, to me, is...
Is your Metroid maker. Good point.
Exactly.
Good point.
So, to me, I'm there with it. So I have all three of my favorites. Like,
you're set.
Playing. It's amazing. And
you're never gonna be bored.
I could just play those three games the rest of my life and never be bored.
Pretty much.
Like, to call that our in a future episode, Desert Island games.
There you go. That's a good one.
Where's our top five games in a Desert Island that we can play?
As long as there's an internet connection, right?
So that is the direct, and I think we went over time, Kevin. A little bit,
but that's all right. I make an exception since it's been so long anyway.
Dude, it's been so long, man. But I mean, heck, if you want to continue doing some bullshit, we can.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, keep me posted for some future topics and stuff, and I'll try to, we got crazy schedules, but we'll make it work one way or another. We can pop in here and there. Just let me know.
For me, like, weekends like this work best because by the time I get out of work, man, it's midnight your time. So
yeah, no, it definitely is going to have to be weekends, but just give me a heads up because those are already pretty well booked out. You know how it goes with family. They tell me how my weekend's going to roll.
Both of us being old men now, usually our nights are open. So
yeah, that's true.
As long as I'm not like running around, I think we're good to go, man.
Yeah, I think it sounds cool. But no, it's been fun. I really enjoyed it. It's good to catch up on things and go over the modern and some of the old, if not a little bit more old next time. I'm always a fan. Exactly. But you better be doing some Doom Eternal. That's what I'm making sure you're going to be doing next time I talk to you.
Yeah, so maybe that'll be one of the goals. Once I move into my house, we'll have to make a homework. But, and as always, let's take our, tilt our hat to Kyle.
Oh, definitely. Always. He's got it, man.
Absolutely, man.
You'll be missed. He will always be missed.
Yeah. Always be missed, man. And it's the first time I've been able to bring you on since Kyle's passing.
Yeah, and he'll never be forgotten, though, man. His spirit will live through this and many other things. So
that's why I started doing video game bullshit, and it's great to have you recording a little bit here, Kevin. Oh,
definitely. No, keep me posted on future ones and enjoy what we got in store in the future,
We're not going to plan any bullshit homework for this one or anything for the future. We'll just come on and shoot the shit about something new.
Sounds cool.
Anyways, everybody, thank you for listening. Are you doing any – you're not doing any content, Kevin, right now?
No, I ain't caught up on that. This is my content at this point.
Cool, man. The whole where you can find us and everything. Of course, this podcast will be available on anywhere podcasts can be listened to. Going to try to upload it as well, uncut, unedited, on Facebook, where you can just watch our faces talking just like we are now. Not doing anything fancy with it on Facebook. It's just for consumption for people if they want to hear us blabble on about it.
Yeah.
But I appreciate everybody listening, and we will catch you next time.
Take it easy.